Last November, Jim Martinson Sr. burned a large pile of demolition waste from the 11-unit Marine View Apartments building. Martinson owns the property, which is in the heavily populated residential neighborhood of North Nordic Drive. Martinson got permission from the local fire marshal to conduct the burn on site as long as he broke the debris up into at least a couple of piles.
And the one pile I planned on hauling away, the second pile was we tried to separate and keep the anything that would create black smoke into that pile was going to be hauled away. And he looked at it and said, well, you're plenty far enough away from the wires and all this stuff, and should be no problem, so just keep an eye on it, and so, which we did.
Martinson, who lives just behind the property, says he didn't see any problem with the fire at the time, though in retrospect, he says he can see why some of his nearby neighbors got upset. Witnesses described it as a large two-story blaze. Jenny and Magnus Jacobson live next door, and Jenny later wrote a letter to the mayor and city council calling for the city to strengthen its rules on open burning. She described the burn next to her home.
The fire was started around 3 p.m. on the 20th of November. In the pile closest to our house, it billowed smoke until late evening before it finally started to burn. It was an extremely wet day. By early morning, the fire was extremely huge, sending flames and debris 30, 40 feet into the air. We couldn't sleep for fear our house would catch on fire. Our eyes, nose, and throats were burning, and the smell was just plain awful. We both suffered with headaches for days.
Jacobson points out that another neighboring couple later went to the doctor because of the smoke. Fire department officials received many complaints about the blaze, which prompted them to put it out the next day. According to Jacobson's account, the steam and smoke got so bad it stopped traffic, and children coming home from school had to walk through it. She says it smoldered for days afterwards. Fire department spokesman Dave Berg says volunteer firefighters tried to extinguish the burn for over 4 hours, but it was difficult because of the lack of water penetration into the compressed pile of demolition debris. Martinson says he thought he had gotten the permission he needed by talking with the city, but found out later that he also should have contacted the State Department of Environmental Conservation. State rules lay out a number of specific restrictions on open burning, and what you can burn in any open fire without a permit, large or small, is pretty limited. Otherwise, a permit is required. Chris Kent is environmental program specialist with the DEC.
Basically, a good rule of thumb is that you can burn anything that's clean, like clean wood, that hasn't been treated, that hasn't some sort of preservative on it. Usually those would be inside studs in the case of a building. Support materials, pilings, creosote-treated or pressure-treated wood, those things you cannot burn.
Nor can you burn a variety of other substances that can give off toxic fumes or black smoke, like plastic, linoleum, asphalt, rubber, foam, or fiberglass insulation. City and state officials say they received complaints about black smoke, though Martinson says he did not see any. He acknowledges there were probably other materials besides just clean wood in the burn pile, though he says he tried to remove as much as possible beforehand. The DEC received a telephone complaint about a week after the fire, according to Chris Kent, who investigated. Kent sent a letter to Martinson late last month warning him about state rules on open burning and requesting information on the incident. Martinson replied with his version of events. Kent says the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is looking into whether there was asbestos in the building. Martinson, who built it, says there wasn't. Also, Kent says state officials are checking to make sure the unburnt materials were properly disposed of. According to Martinson, the remaining debris was hauled off to a private area to be buried. As far as air quality, Kent says he did not officially determine whether the burn violated state law.
The air quality has already, impacts have already occurred. The complaint watched the fire and had some issues with it. We don't have any qualified observers on site or did not have a qualified observer on site to state whether or not or verify that there was a violation of air quality standards during the burn, so we may not take any further action.
However, Petersburg's fire department is taking action to clean up city rules on outside or open burning. Fire department spokesperson Dave Berg says the fire marshal gave permission for the Martinson burn because there were no prohibitions against it in city code. The code basically allows burning in a residential area as long as it's not too close to a structure, according to Berg. However, Berg and other fire officials agree the current code is pretty weak, and the department has discussed the problem in the past with the Public Safety Board. In a meeting this week, volunteer Fire Chief Jared Cook presented the board with a new draft ordinance.
I feel that this draft identifies some of the problems that were left out of the others' ordinances and addresses most of the problems that we've we're looking at that could help avoid the predicament we got into in the past here.
Unlike the current ordinance, the new version requires all open burning to comply with state law. Among other things, the ordinance follows the state in specifically prohibiting the burning of a variety of substances that could produce toxic or black smoke, like plastic or petroleum products or treated lumber. Cook says people would still be able to have burn barrels and brush fires as long as they followed the city and state rules.
I mean, the main function is if it's not in a chimney or a flue, it needs to be defined as an open burn. And we still leave it open where if you want to have a campfire in your backyard or you want to have a fire, you can still get past these and get permission from the proper authorities.
The ordinance would require residents obtain written burn permits that include a copy of the restrictions. As written, the ordinance exempted burn barrels from the permit process, though according to Cook, the idea was that burn barrels would only need a permit once a year. The ordinance would also establish an enforcement mechanism. Police or fire officials could issue a warning for a first offense, a $50 fine for the second, a $500 fine for the third, and require a mandatory court appearance for four or more offenses. Public Safety Board member Sally Dwyer was one of the people who witnessed the Martinson burn, and she thought the ordinance was a good idea.
Well, as someone that drove through the putrescent, or whatever that word is, smoke, I think it's a really nice, positive step you guys have taken.
The four board members present on Monday were generally supportive of strengthening the local code. However, member Albert Hardin was not yet ready to vote for the proposed ordinance without some revision. He agreed that larger fires like Martin's needed to be addressed in the code, but he didn't think the average homeowner with a burn pile should be saddled with the same rules.
You know, what Martin's did off the road wouldn't be allowed in most cities in the United States. You know, the cities I've lived in the lower 48 have had open burning bans for years and years and years of any kind. And, you know, it's just not the same if somebody tears down a 50, you know, apartment complex and burns it in the middle of the town and somebody's burning trash or a little bit of slash every couple of weeks. I don't think it should be subject to the same ordinances.
Fire officials gave several reasons for a written permit, one of which was that it would help them know where and when a burn would be occurring if they received public complaints. It would also create a written record as well as an opportunity to provide the applicant with information on the rules, according to Fire and Emergency Medical Services Department Head Sandy Dixon.
By having them come in and do the permit, here's your paper. These are the rules. You signed it. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. So if you blow it, then you know what the rules and the consequences are. Whereas now with the phone call that we have now, we've run into problems and we can't do anything about it.
The board did not vote on recommending the ordinance for the city council yet. Instead, they agreed to have the department make some revisions on permitting and the size of fires before the issue is discussed again at the next board meeting in February. If the board approves the measure, it would then go before the city council. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.